I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to this message to the movement. This is called Here on Purpose. And I believe that right now, right across our movement, it's a season of fulfillment. Many dreams that you've been dreaming are going to come to pass. Many of the plans that you've had right now are going to be fulfilled. Many people who have been trying to get buildings, they've been trying to get blocks of land, and there's been resistance and blockages and obstacles. I believe that right now is a season of breakthrough and overcoming, and opportunities are going to open up to every one of us so that we can see our way through into fulfillment of original plans that God put on the inside of us. As I was thinking about this, knowing that we move into this season of the fulfillment of prophecies, the fulfillment of prayers, the answers and the solutions to many things that you've been hoping that God would bring to pass in your life, right now, believe with me that God is going to move. And that scripture in Galatians that says, don't give up, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. And if you don't get tired, if we don't get tired and in the battle and in the trial, sometimes the trials are so ferocious. Some of you have been going through absolutely incredibly pressurized situations and you felt like giving up. You felt like, oh, if only I could get out of this, if only I didn't accept this job, if only I didn't do whatever I'm doing. But I'm telling you, because you have not grown weary in well-doing and you haven't given up, you will reap in due season, as the book of Galatians tells us. God is on your side. He's got you here on purpose. He is not the God of oops. You're not here by accident. He didn't see you come out into the world and say, whoops, didn't see that one coming. What are we going to do? Every single one of us have a purpose from God and a reason why we're here on this earth. Your life, my life, no one's life is meaningless. Every single one of us have a meaning that's been given to us by God, and He's given us the personality. He's given us the gifts and the drive within ourselves to actually fulfill that incredible plan He designed us for. Each one of us fit into God's great economy, God's great plan, because He has called you. He has called you with a holy calling. And I want to talk about that in this message. I'm believing that that scripture, Galatians 6:9, that your due season is right now for the fulfillment of things that you have been believing for. In fact, in Philippians 1 verse 6, Paul says to that church, I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't begin a thing and not finish it. He has no unfinished business at the end of the day. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. When Paul was finishing his race, he said, I've finished my race. He knew that what God had called him to do, he had actually brought to pass. He had actually fulfilled it. And Jesus knew he had to raise up those 12 disciples, give them teaching, and launch them filled with the power of the Holy Spirit on the earth. That was his mission with the 12 disciples, his mission with the cross. He had completed that. Risen from the dead, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, he knew that that was his calling. Now, none of us have got a calling that is quite that grand and quite that immense, but we all have a calling to Jesus and to fulfill what he's called us to do. So when we look at Romans 12, verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How cool is that? That when we study the word, when we soak our minds in scripture, we actually get a renewal happening, and that transforms our lives. Our lives are transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our minds? One of the best ways is to speak the word of God to yourself. And as you speak, you actually cause that word to become flesh in your world. If you say, the scripture says I'm healed, the scripture says I'm transformed, the scripture says I'm prospering in life, you will find that those words create new realities for you. We don't have to do anything to have negative thoughts or to think negatively or to speak negatively or to have negative information coming our way. It just comes. You don't have to try and be anxious about something. It'll just turn up. But we have to make an effort. We have to intentionalize faith. We have to say, actually, I'm going to start believing now, and find that faith switch and turn it on. And as you start believing, your world is going to start changing. So Paul says that when your mind is being renewed and you're getting transformed, you'll understand what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is for your life. How good is that? All of us are called. We have the call of God on our lives. And to fulfill that call, God wants to guide us and show us the will of God and the call of God in our lives. He says it's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. So let me just think about that with you for a moment. The will of God is a good thing. It suits you. It brings goodness into your world. It is good in every level. It's not evil. It's not troublesome and tormenting and harassing. The will of God is a good thing. Now, I've found some people teach about the will of God. They say it's very hard. It's very difficult. It's very challenging. It's everything you don't want to do. I don't know about that. You know, once I had a prophecy, and it was about somebody in a meeting, like a word of knowledge prophecy, that there was somebody in the meeting that wouldn't surrender to God because they thought he would be asking them to do something that they didn't want to do. In fact, they thought God would ask them to be a missionary. So they never did. And when I said that, this girl who was in the meeting, grown up in a Christian home, she came forward and she said, "That's me. I've never surrendered to God because I didn't want to become a missionary. But I said, listen, God wants to fulfill the desires of your heart. He's not going to ask you to do something that is evil, that is bad for you, it's good. The will of God is good. And then the next thing says it's acceptable. So it's going to be something that you easily accept. It's not hard. It's not like difficult. You love it. When Chris and I were called by God to come to Australia, I fell in love with Australia. So much so that I planted eucalyptus trees in our backyard in Littleton in New Zealand. I love, if I met an Australian and they started talking to me, I just wanted to listen. I didn't want to say anything. I loved their accent. I loved everything about Australia. And when we arrived here, we found God calling us to a particular area on the northern beaches of DY. And it was like unusual, the level of love that we had for just the area and the people. God is love. And when you find that you're loving something, and I mean, this is to a spiritual person, a person in prayer. I'm not talking about lust or evil desires or anything like that. I'm saying if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart because your desires will be modified and correct before God because you love Him.
Hey everyone, I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planting churches all around the world, in major cities, villages, towns, and we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches, and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting His magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out, and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor. And we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global, and there you will find a giving section. And you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you. But the will of God is acceptable. And then it says it's perfect. It's like you're not out of place. You feel like you fit in exactly with what God has called you to do. And when you are in that situation, you find, man, this is just working so well. Now, that doesn't mean that everything along the way is going to be easy. It doesn't say easy here. It just says good, acceptable, and perfect. Because I have found doing the will of God is never what I'd call super easy. It's like there's challenges in it. There's warfare. There's oppositions. But as you fight the fight and keep moving forward, you find that you're actually perfectly made for this situation. And that's what the will of God is. That's the call of God. So I wanted to say that first, because as we think about this call and the fulfillment of a purpose in your life, the call of God on you is something that you can yield to easily and find that it's going to be very fulfilling at every level. Everybody who comes into this world has the call of God on their life. When you meet Christ, He calls you to something, and He's got a particular work for every one of us. You're not too old to be called by God. Moses saw a burning bush and it spoke to him, and it was the Lord. And the Lord said, Moses, I want you to go and do this now. And that was his call. He had a mission from the Lord. You're never too young. He called Jeremiah when he was just a young boy, like 15, 16. And he said, Lord, I'm too young. And God said to him, do not say you're too young, because I've called you and I'll put my words in your mouth. And he became one of the mightiest prophets for Israel. Even younger than him would have been Samuel, when he's just a boy, maybe a 10-year-old boy in the temple. And he heard a voice, and the voice said, Samuel. And he ran to the high priest, who was Eli at that time. He said, you call me? He said, no, go back to bed. And then the voice came again and said, Samuel. And he ran to Eli again. And it happened three times. Eventually, Eli said, hey, the Lord is calling you. So he went back and he did what Eli told him to do. He said, speak, Lord, your servant hears. And God gave him a prophecy. And that prophecy was to impact all of Israel. And Samuel grew up to become the great kingmaker of Israel and a prophet to the entire nation. So all these people who got the call of God on their life, sometimes it seemed like too much for them, but God will give you adequacy. He'll make you completely, completely empowered for whatever you're being called to do. And then he called Mary. How about that call? He said, Mary, you're going to have a child and the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. And the child will be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Mary didn't say, oh, sorry, I don't do virgin births, you know. She actually said, yes, be it unto me according to your word. And I think all of us need to come into the presence of the Lord with that kind of surrendered heart and that surrendered attitude. And she would only have been 15 or 16 years of age. And possibly she didn't conceive completely what that would mean for her.
I mean, suddenly the whole village would be gossiping when they start seeing this single girl pregnant. There's only one way that happens in everyone's mind. And Joseph, who was engaged to her, said, oh, we've got to break this off. You can't tell me this is not real. She said, oh, you'll never understand. But then Joseph, the angel spoke to Joseph as well and put it all together. And he said, okay, I'll marry her. So he very righteously did that and married Mary. And she nearly lost everything. She lost a lot of reputation in the town. And everybody must have thought that Joseph was just trying to cover it up and marry the girl. And the will of God can have its challenges, but you're going to find that inside of it, the presence of God, when we are fulfilling the call of God, He's with us. When we walk according to His ways, He's with us all the way, and His presence is very strong. God calls people who are working in a field. Elisha was plowing oxen when Elijah called him and said, hey, you're called. You need to come serve me, and I'm going to transition to you. He called Gideon when Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press, and he didn't believe in himself, but God believed in him. And when we don't even believe in ourselves, God still believes in us. He believes you can do it. So he said to Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Gideon is one of the most doubtful, weak, hiding from the enemy kind of people. God says, you're a mighty man of valor. He sees you through very different eyes than everybody else. He sees you through very different eyes than the way you see you. And even when you've made a mistake, God is not obsessing over that mistake. He sees you as you are in that future. And He treats you today like that person in the future, which He did with Abraham. When he was dealing with Abraham, He dealt with him like he was Abraham. And same with Peter, who was once Simon, and same with Paul, who was once Saul. God changed the names of these people because the transformation was so completely different to fulfill the call of God. We get to be transformed people. And God is involved in that transforming process. As we soak in the Word, as we live close to Him, we'll find ourselves conforming to His image. Jesus called Peter and John when they're out fishing. He calls busy people. Don't be waiting around on your sofa, watching daytime TV, waiting for the call of God. Get involved at every level, and you'll find that as we're busy, God calls us. One of the most amazing purposes of God that is in the Scripture is Joseph in the Old Testament. In Psalm 105, verse 17, it says, God sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. God sent him. I don't know if you know the story of Joseph. It's astonishing. He was hated by all of his brothers because he was his father's favorite. His father made him a coat of many colors. Remember that? And he put it on. I mean, that's kind of crazy anyway. If you're going to be the favorite and he makes you the coat of many colors, it just made his brothers hate him more. But he wanted to honor his father rather than be in favor with his brothers. They ripped his coat off him, threw him down a hole. They wanted to kill him at one point, but then they sold him. They decided, let's not kill him. Let's sell him as a slave. And he went down to Egypt, and the favor of God was on him. So he ended up being in this house of a very rich man. But then he was accused of attempting to rape the master's wife, which was a false accusation. So they threw him in jail. Then he interpreted some dreams for some prisoners, and he said, remember me, but they forgot him. And then one day, Pharaoh has a dream that he can't understand, and somebody remembers that Joseph can interpret dreams. So they send for him, and he interprets the dream and gives some advice, and it works. And it turns Egypt into the most prosperous country in the world. And then a famine happens, and Joseph's brothers and his father have to come down to Egypt to buy food. And he saved his family. But you gotta wonder about the scripture says God sent him. The way that God sends us can be any kind of way. We might think it's going to be very comfortable, very nice, very convenient, but it's not always convenient. It's not always comfortable. It's not always expected. Paul always wanted to go to Rome, and he thought he'd end up there. He knew he was sent by God to speak to Caesar. You'd think that he'd be going in there with an entourage of all of his disciples and everybody around him. No, he went there on a prison ship with 270 other criminals. Chains. He was in chains. That was how God fulfilled the word that was for Paul and for Joseph. But when Paul first met Christ, it's such an astonishing story in Acts 9. A light shines from heaven and he falls to the ground. And Jesus says, "Hey, Saul, I've got something for you to do." And he sends him to another particular man and he prays for him. God has got something for you and me to fulfill in this life. And we can be confident of this very thing, that God, who has begun a good work in us, will complete it. He is committed to completing the work he has begun in you and I. The fact that he began is the guarantee that he will finish it. And when Jeremiah was sent down to the potter's house to have a look at how the potter makes the vases, and he saw that even if there was a lump in the clay halfway through the process, the potter might make it into a lump again, but he never gave up on the lump. He would just start again, take the lump out and do it again. And you might feel like, you know, things have gone so badly in your world that it's over. No, God has never finished. He doesn't finish with us before the work is finished. He has got a great plan, an awesome purpose for you and I. And now is that season when he is going to fulfill it, when he is going to speak to our hearts, where the call of God is coming on our lives and we can serve him in our church, in our community. And for the kingdom of God, we should surrender our lives to him and make sure that we are in his will today. I'm praying for you right now that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and help you surrender to him and say, "Lord, I'm committed. Here I am, Lord. Speak to me," like little Samuel said, or Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word." All of these people had a moment where they needed to say, "Yes, Lord." And as they surrendered, they saw the plan that God had for them and the process of a great fulfillment began in their life. God bless you. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, and our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.